Archer Pro Con Show with Anna DeBlanzas offer another day of a broadcast. Insolence.
Bro, you know, in my hands here, I was able to obtain an advance copy. There's a relatively, well, very secretive event going on in Washington later today. A lot will be said, and they're keeping all of the contents of the event under wraps. But in my hands here, I have one of the documents that will be read later. If you want to take a little look-see at that, you might be honored. Or
the fake news award to local host in a market where there's a Trump Tower. Big, beautiful buildings, it says here.
Yes, that's this Chicago.
The Trumpy goes to Rokan Bigley, a purveyor of Bigley fake news.
Yes, that's you.
A year of dishonest coverage of my terrific presidency, completely wrongly overlooking my stable geniusness, and also misrepresenting my weight, which is 239 pounds, just like Tim Tebow.
See?
And Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Well, wait a second.
So you
now,
be honored,
I'm gonna. You know what? I hope. Oh God. Nothing would be. That would be my biggest award yet.
Biggest achievement.
Biggest achievement.
What would that be?
The Trumpy.
Mm-hmm.
If I got the Trumpy,
you might get the Trumpy. This is what I'm told. It's going to happen.
What do you think the actual award looks like? Like his hair, like a gold.
That's kind of what
it looks like. I believe it looks a little bit like a sphincter. I think is what it would look like.
Maybe a house.
To the rest of you,
or a hole.
Kiss it.
I'm not sure if it's really going to happen tonight and how it's going to be handled. They say at 5 o'clock Eastern time that they're going to do these fake news awards.
47 minutes. I don't know, is this the right time? You know, the government's about to, there's the possibility of a government shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
There's DACA. There's the whole thing about the, you know, what did he say? What didn't he say?
Sure. There's a threat of North Korea and nuclear.
It's below the presidency of the United States, and especially after Jeff Flake's speech. We're going to talk about this a little bit later on. Actually, Brett Baer is going to join us to talk about this. We'll ask him what he thinks is going to happen here. But Jeff Flake's speech today was a moment. Now, we all knew it was coming. We knew he was going to compare Donald Trump, which he did, to Joseph Stalin, the autocratic dictator of the Soviet Union in the 1930s and 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Who was responsible, it is estimated, for up to 50 million deaths.
Yeah, so a little bit of a stretch. It also torched villages, starved people.
Right, yes.
I mean, he did.
It's a bit of a stretch. He didn't compare him like he's just like Joseph Stalin.
No, he didn't.
He said Joseph Stalin's turning on the media that didn't agree with him in the way that Donald Trump was and calling them the enemy of the people, as Donald Trump has, was even rebuked by Nikita Khrushchev when he took over. Because it was like, you can't do that. Now, they don't have a free press in the Soviet Union, and they don't have one in Russia currently. They attempt to have a free press, but a lot of those guys get assassinated for doing their job.
Well, and Pravda is really state-run media.
Right, the old Pravda, right.
And Stalin had an affiliation as an editor of that at one time, so he certainly was no stranger to the power of the press, but also the role it plays in criticizing government.
In a free and open democracy, which this should be, this is what this is. You know, people say liberal democracy. They don't mean liberal like liberal politically. They mean liberal meaning free and open.
Yes.
Free and open democracy, as this is, which I remember Vladimir Putin in a speech said that, you know, the era of the liberal democracy, the free and open democracy, is over in the world. Now, what does that mean? That means that the guys who run and control the power and they control the economies of these nations get to do whatever they want to do. And the people just have to go along with it. And that is not, that's the beauty of America, is that's not what we're about. And the issue here is, listen, does everybody in the press do the right thing all the time? No.
No.
No, but you can't do that. You can't turn around and say something is totally fake when it is not.
Right, and you can't say that things just because they're critical of you are fake or wrong or should be silenced in some way.
Right.
Because you don't like hearing it. A free, independent press is a hallmark of a democracy. And you heard John McCain even talk about that today.
And Jeff,
excuse me, I'm sorry.
John McCain did too.
He did.
In the Washington Post.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Flake is a conservative Republican. Jeff Flake is not, he is of the party of the president. He is of the right wing of the party of the president.
No fan of the president's.
No. But then again, I don't. Do you think that Lindsey Graham is a fan of the president?
It's hard to tell. Some right? days it seems like he loves him, and the other days he just doesn't support him.
And the Dow closed over 26,000, as our friend predicted it would before the first inauguration day. So congratulations to him. He said the Dow is going to be 26,000, and you're going to be happy. He was half right.
Did he said 26,000.
Yes. He said 26,000.
Did he run on that? I can't remember when that was said.
No, our friend who said this to me said the Dow a year from now.
Yeah.
We were out in the hallway, right? The day of the inauguration.
Uh-huh.
And he said to both of us as we were standing there,
oh, right.
Don't worry, a year from now, the Dow is going to be 26,000 and you're going to be happy. And I'm like, it's never going to be 26,000. And I'm never going to be happy. You don't know me well enough to know that I'll never be happy. And
here we are a year later.
A year later, and the Dow is 26,000. Which is the only thing that really keeps Donald Trump and his antics acceptable by even his by the 30%, 40%, whatever it happens to be that is highly supportive of him. They like it because they think things are getting done and things are great because they read his Twitter account. They go, the world is great, according to him. So we'll see. We'll see. But Bitcoin didn't do so well. Brett Baer is going to join us. Stand by. Don't anybody move. Brett Baer is going to join us on the other side of the traffic and the commercials and all that. But first, Judy Pilak is standing by in the WGN newsroom. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Clay, KD, Curry. The Bulls go for the upset as they host the defending NBA champs. Bulls, Warriors tonight at 6:30 on WGN TV Sports.
It's the Rogan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN. I'm thanking everybody for my... I'm going to get up. I've written my Trumpy acceptance speech.
Don't make it long. They will totally play you off stage. You're not going to have much time. But you did get the Trumpy, the local Trumpy.
I think I'm going to get the local Trumpy for fake news coverage. Mm-hmm. Brett Baer is standing by for the Fox News Channel. And I guess this is the question. The White House says that they're going to do these fake news awards at 5 o'clock Eastern. That's about 38 minutes from right now. Is that really still going to happen today? Do we know?
So we're told that it's probably going to come out by a statement, a paper release or a tweet pointing to a paper release, and that they're going to wait until after my interview with the White House Chief of Staff. Is what we've been told.
Well, now, are you doing a live interview?
I am.
At 5 o'clock Chicago time?
Yeah, so you want to record special reports.
I think I'm going to watch that one live. I'm going to watch it live. Don't worry. And then we're going to, and not in clear violation of anybody's copyright laws, after it airs, I will play cuts of it.
Nice.
And
John Kelly's sitting down with us, me for a while. And we're going to go over everything. We're going to go, he has not sat down for a lot of interviews. He hasn't really talked to the press that much. He came out a few times early on. But with all that's been going on, this is a great time to talk to the guy that's
running
the show behind the scenes at the White House.
I'm sorry to post you up on this. I don't mean to break our own broadcast etiquette here, but mm-hmm. Have you already spoken to him, or is this going to be live in front of the cameras as you're doing it?
It's live in front of the cameras.
Oh my God!
Wow.
It is. You never know what could happen.
Oh. My.
So much ground to cover.
We quit right in the middle of the thing. You know what? You're right, Brett. I'm out. The thing that is interesting here is that he is given, depending on the winds of the day, depending on what his boss is doing or saying,
mm-hmm.
he's given equal praise and condemnation for being able to control and then lose control of the boss, or being an agitator or a guy that that is complicit in Donald Trump's anger. And I'm familiar through other people who know him. I don't know John Kelly, but I know people who know him, and they've all said to me directly that this is as rock solid a guy. They're so glad he's there, and that he's the kind of guy that the president will probably respond well to and will pay attention to, and he's a guy who understands, at least, the big issue, tragedy-inducing kind of issues that are surrounding this right now. And so, great get on your part. Congratulations. We will be paying attention to that at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah, thanks. It's, and especially now, we've got this government shutdown looming Friday night. There is not a deal on the broader funding, DACA, border security. So that has you know, really raise some questions. There are Republicans and Democrats who say they're not going to vote for a continuing resolution again. That would be the fourth of keeping funding at the same level. And you could see the day before the one-year anniversary of the inauguration, the government shutting down.
Yeah, I think this is a great risk to every single one of those people up there. And may I just call them Jamokes? Let me just call them, because that's a Bannon word, right? He meant Jamokes.
It's a good Chicago word,
right?
Too.
That was one of the problems with Michael Wolff's book, is he didn't know that there was a K in Jamokes.
Hearing people pronounce that, by the way, has been quite something.
Jamokes.
Jamokes.
It's really a Jamoke.
Over to Taylor Street, you'll hear it every once in a while, you know? My mother-in-law uses it.
That blanking guy. All right, let's talk about what the peril is here, though. It's a peril to everybody, because the people that really need to be won over here are the people in the middle, right? Obviously, the staunch Democrats are not going to vote for Democrats coming up in the fall, are not going to vote for Republicans, and vice versa. And so it's that sliding 8-12% in the middle. And how do you appeal to them? And if both sides let them down, it's kind of a push, because it's a pretty easy argument to see that the DACA thing everybody's been promising on, the president did pull the pin on it, so we have till March 5th to figure out a solution, we, the United States of America. And so, putting it, into this moment does make some sort of political sense. However, shutting down the government isn't good. You had Paul Ryan out there, right? Paul Ryan saying, hey, the CHIP program is going to be affected. This, the Children Health Program, which some people in his own party want to shut down too, and say it should be sent back to the states.
Yeah. And listen, there is really not a lot of unity on the Republican side about how to go forward on all of this. And I think it's a real challenge for this administration. I mean, the deal that came forward on the immigration stuff, on the DACA stuff, that Graham and Durbin brought forward, it was not a consensus bipartisan deal. It was a Graham-Durbin deal. And it was shot down. And I'm going to get the TikTok from the White House Chief of Staff on all of that and how we ended up at that S-hole meeting in the Oval Office that has caused so much.
Are we going to find out if it was S-hole or S-house? Are we going to find out, do you think?
Do you want to?
No, I don't.
I don't see much of a difference. Let me ask you about
it. I mean, is there a distinction without a difference?
No.
I believe there is a distinction without a difference. Yes, I believe that.
Between those two?
Between S-hole and S-house. Do you think there's a difference?
No, I don't think there's a difference.
Both.
I mean, it's...
Yeah, yeah.
He said they're countries that are...
right, where there's no indoor plumbing, or they're actually in a poop hole. All right, let's talk... I want to ask you about Jeff Flake before we let you go. Jeff Flake goes to the wall of the Senate today. Interestingly enough, it was an empty Senate chamber.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes a speech that we had known about, and actually he had sent out verbatims of the speech before he actually delivered it today in the Senate, in which he did make a comparison of this moment and the president's criticism of the media, calling them the enemy of the people. He made the comparison to Joseph Stalin. Joseph Stalin did that. And even the Soviet premier Nikita Khrushchev criticized Joseph Stalin for doing that in the aftermath of it. Well into the future, after Joseph Stalin was already dead, but he did. And he talked about this notion that truth is now a moving target, that we're starting to lose that. And there's a lot of reason. Donald Trump is not the full reason for that, but Donald Trump is taking advantage of that moment without question. How important do you think, and because you've written books about American history,
mm-hmm.
How important is it that how important will that speech be, and how important is this moment in time for the Fourth Estate?
You know, I think, well, first of all, since you mentioned the book, today is January 17th. It is the anniversary of that Ike farewell address, January 17th, 1961, where he talked not only about the military-industrial complex, but bipartisanship. And there's a good book on that in paperback now.
which is written by Brett Baer at the Fox News Channel. I heard he's a good guy. Yeah.
I think it will be, well, first of all, if he runs for president, you know, they'll point back to this and other speeches he's given standing up to President Trump as a you know, as his reasoning for running. I don't know that he's going to, but I do think that you'll see it played again and again and again on shows that are almost entirely critical of this president, and they love the fact that a conservative Republican, and he is that, is ripping, you know, the way.
Is he inaccurate in what he's saying?
No, I mean, listen, the attack on the press is clear, and it is widespread, and it's fairly effective. I mean, our numbers as far as approval have gone, as hard as it is to believe, into the basement, and I don't think that that's a good thing for the country. I do think that some outlets could be more careful about how they cover things, because once it goes over and there's emotion behind it, that there's like a visceral hatred, and it comes across in a report, it hurts everybody in journalism.
No question.
No question about that. And I agree with you on that. I happen to agree that I think there are moments, and I'll just say it, that there are moments that CNN goes over the top. This thing about, you know, and I love Sanjay Gupta, but they're talking about whether he has heart disease today. Listen, let me tell you something. That dude is in better shape than I am, and he's 20 years older than I am.
And most people,
I mean, we listened to that for 60 minutes almost.
Yeah.
The doctor, who was the doctor for President Bush and President Obama.
Yeah.
They basically did a colonoscopy on air.
Yeah.
They kind of did.
Although he did not get a colonoscopy, he's not due for one. But he's in. I mean, you know, picking on little things like that and just trying to find the one moment. There are big issues here, and I do think that the S-hole/S-house conversation is germane. It's relevant. It does give you a sense of the battle strategy that the president has, and perhaps that the White House has, and it isn't really rooted, as Lindsey Graham pointed out, in the idea of America. America is an idea. It is not the race of its people. It's not a race. And so it is, and that's a very, very important thing to note. And it just seems to me that the more the president wishes to play in those waters, and that is what he is doing, he's playing in that end of the pool because he thinks it's going to be politically expedient for him, the more dangerous it is in the long run for the country. And I would hope that John Kelly, who knows that, would be telling him that every day. I would hope that his wife, who knows that, would be telling him, that his kids, that everybody around him that he trusts and he listens to would be telling him that. But, you know, because it doesn't matter if he's president. He's not going to be president after 2024, right? So it's, even if he makes it past 2020. So you've been given this now. You should be responsible to the nation. That's what I would say to him.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a lot of this is self-inflicted. I mean, arguably last week was seemed a good week for the president. Polls were turning around on tax reform. He had this bipartisan meeting on Tuesday. Everyone was saying, wait a second, this is, you know, he's steering the ship. And then, you know, he kind of stepped on it a little bit, maybe a lot.
Yeah.
Well, good luck with the John Kelly interview.
Thank you.
Tonight.
We'll be DVRing.
Special report. We will be DVRing and stealing it. DVRing and stealing. That's what we do here. Brett Baer tonight, special report on the Fox News Channel, 5 o'clock Chicago time. It sits at live on the set, John Kelly. Wow.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you.
Thanks, Brett. Sharing that with us right there. All right. Right now, we have got Judy Pilak standing by. She's got WGN News 2 minutes. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, here he is. Demetrius Ivory is in the WGN Weather Center.
Hi, Demetrius.
Well, hello, everyone. Coming to you from the cold, 19 degrees.
Oh, I know. We're done with it for now, aren't we?
You know, it's interesting because, you know, when it's sunny outside and you start to think, because, you know, you had that little flirting, if you will, with the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, which many argue is what America's doing right now, flirting with the 50s. you see it's sunny, and you're like, oh, it's going to be nice. And you walk out, and it's brutal because you get the wind going, too.
And if you're not in the sun, brutal.
It is deceptive, too, because, you know, we start off this month so cold. So now if you get a day where the temperatures are in the teens and it's sunny, you go out there without the gloves and the hat, and you're like, this isn't bad. Mm-hmm. This is okay. And then 10 minutes later, you can't feel anything. It kind of catches up to you. All the blood rushes away from your extremities, and you realize that you should have bundled up still. So, yeah,
yes,
you're right.
That's true. And then your fingers are like, wait, what? And then I have fingerless gloves.
Yeah, robot which is, fingerless gloves right before the big freeze happened.
Demetrius, before you judge me for this, I would just like to say.
It's too late.
They're very cute. Very. Don't make fun of them,
incredibly
Demetrius.
Incredibly fashionable.
Tell them they look right.
A. B. I am able to use my electronic devices.
You can do that. They have gloves for that now.
They don't. That doesn't really
in
work.
Like 7 years
those
ago,
don't
they
work.
Developed those gloves that you can actually press the buttons. And
I know,
it works.
But it's too. They're either the things that make the phone work are either too big or too small.
So please tell me you have at least the kind to pull over.
No, he
doesn't. No, those aren't as cool looking.
No.
He didn't want mitten looking gloves.
Yeah.
Are they for weightlifting,
cool.
or are they for, you know, actually?
Well, right,
off?
That was, no, well, first of all, they're kind of, you know, a cotton wool blend, so they'd be really bad with the weights, because they'd slip right out, I decapitate myself if that actually
and
happened.
And in cold weather, they don't do well in cold weather.
No, and they don't do particularly well in cold weather, but.
They're designer gloves, though.
But, and they are falling apart a little bit, because they're knit, so that's a bit of an issue.
Wow.
But other, and I did pay $80 for,
I know,
but
they were way too expensive for half a glove.
But other than that.
$80?
And they were John Varvatos, and they were, and the thing is that they had the little sticker on them that said, you know, the little thing, and that fell off.
No one even knows that they're John Varvatos anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Some guy picked that up on Michigan Avenue, put it on his gloves,
right.
And said, I've got $80 gloves.
So
he got the pair
now,
from
the
dollar store and cut off the fingers and said they were yours.
They were originally $80. Please. It's like, I'm not a dumb shopper. They were originally
$80.
Yeah, That, by the way, I know this. I'm used to this trick.
Yeah.
Demetrius, I've been played like that many times in my life. Oh, it's massively on sale. When you hear those words come out of your wife's mouth, you know that you have just. It's sort of like, okay, I'm gonna have to work an overtime shift. I only paid $69.95 for them. They were originally $80. All right,
you paid $70 for gloves.
Not really.
Fingers.
I think $40, but it was still too much based on it. Now, and everybody makes fun of me, but I. You know what? Current political environment, I'm doubling down. I am going.
Spending.
Yeah,
consumer spending is up. Everybody's like rich now.
Yeah, right? We're all going to be. The Dow reached what? I don't even
know. 26,000.
You know what? I act like I know what that means. Mm-hmm. Guess it's a high number. It's like
That's a big number, yeah. That's a big number. Check your 401k. You'll be happy about that.
That's
about
growth.
It, yeah.
The growth is what's been so good for everybody in a short period of time.
Exactly.
All right. That's what I'll say to people when I go
to lunch. And then Donald Trump said this week that if the other side had won, the Dow would be half of what it started at. It would be at 9,000. Now, Bitcoin, on the other hand, I just must mention this. We're going to talk about this coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. A special Susie Sunshine segment because of Bitcoin. You know, Bitcoin was 19,000.
Yeah.
Last week.
Mm-hmm. $19,000.
$19,000 per Bitcoin. Wow. Mm-hmm. It dipped into $9,000 territory.
Wow.
So that's a bit. We call that a precipitous drop.
Yeah, less than 50%. I mean, it's I've been telling all my friends, you know, sell your Bitcoin.
Well, they did. Everybody did simultaneously. That's why
they listened, Demetrius.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you weren't sitting there with your Bitcoin.
I'm still holding the thing. I think it's somewhere in my coin.
Oh no! No, did you put the Bitcoin in the tollway? That is
Seriously.
Not for laundry.
You'll never get that back.
That'd be bad if you did that. That's a $19,000 coin or $9,000.
Well, it's only $9,000. Now it's on sale. It's on sale.
That's
now.
What she would say right now. That's what Aaron would say to you. Go, you know, this is the Bitcoin was massively on sale.
Yeah. It was cheaper than you think, honey.
God, yeah.
It really wasn't
I know.
That expensive.
I'm totally feeling his pain right now. I totally understand that. We have the little kids, too. You know, and you're already like, oh my God, I got to pay for college, right? And you're just thinking about that when you look at the little ones scampering around. You know, it's sort of like, how am I going to do this? Yeah. And then they're like, I just got this thing massively on sale.
On sale.
And you're like, I don't care.
Yeah. And she tries, well, now she'll sneak it in. She'll, all of a sudden, I'll see kids run by with shoes that light up. And, you know, they have those shoes. And I'm like, where'd this come from? Where's the box and everything? And then it's like, well, they were on sale.
Well, she might be a very smart shopper and get some on sale. There's ways to do that, you know?
You know, she might have tried to work the safety angle on that with you, too. Well, this is very important because we'll be able to find the kids.
They light up at night.
Because they light up.
Yeah, if we let them run at night alone, we can.
People will see them. And
right. Other than the sheriff's office showing up at your house, this will be just fine. Yeah. That'll be the only other issue. All right, let's talk about you. You promised us earlier this week, Demetrius Ivory, that there is going to be a warm-up.
a big thaw comes our way. And I'm going to say it starts tomorrow, but tomorrow's not going to be a warm day. So we're looking at a high temperature in the low 30s tomorrow, which is normal, but certainly warmer than the upper teens that we saw today. But sunshine is going to come our way for basically the rest of the work week. You know, the same high pressure system that brought us the cold air over the last couple days is also the same system that brought all the ice, the snow to places like Houston and New Orleans last night. But it's also the same system that's going to bring the warm air into our area into the next couple of days. So 32 degrees tomorrow. We'll be in the low 40s as we get on into Friday, and Saturday we'll be in the mid 40s. Sunday nearly 50. So
there you go.
Nice.
I think a lot, you know, except for Northwest Indiana where they got upwards of, you know, 8 inches of snow. I think all this snow is going to be melted away here, at least in Chicago, probably early into the weekend.
I like the full panic in Atlanta, by the way.
Did you see?
Yes.
Shoveling the snow?
They did not know what to do at the airport. Everybody standing around staring at the sky.
The press conference is saying stay off the roads. Don't go near them.
I saw
stay
one that
home.
Said dangerous wind chills. This was, I think, from the National Weather Service. Dangerous wind chills for New Orleans area. It was, and then they showed the numbers. It was 15 and 16 degrees.
Well, that's because
I
love New Orleans. It's one of my favorite places
too.
On earth. But they are not prepared. No one has a winter coat in New Orleans.
Right.
No one has a coat that is anything more than perhaps a windbreaker or slicker. That's about as good as it gets down there in terms of thermal cover.
They also don't have salt trucks at the ready.
Right. And they got cobblestone streets. And salt trucks and cobblestone streets do not really mix.
It's not a great mix.
Because then it just sits there all
right.
year.
Yeah. But what you can do, I will tell you this, you can go out there and you could spray the hurricane mix on the snow.
Oh,
and
does that work?
It's alcohol. It will absolutely melt the snow. You could do that. Now the streets are going to be sticky.
Wait, whoa! That's not a good trade-off, is it?
Why would you waste that?
Listen, they got nothing but it down there. I mean, it's not exactly like the hurricane mix is very hard for them to come by. They actually use that at the airport to de-ice the aircraft, I believe. Why is it like green and pink simultaneously? Yeah. Why is that?
Out of a plastic liquor bottle?
Right. Yeah. Those vuvuzela-looking things that they all drink out of when they walk up and down the street. They actually have a woman who is from, like, Little Rock who has beads and a big vuvuzela full of a hurricane, and they have her come out and pour it on the wing. It's the damnedest thing I've ever seen.
Very effective.
Yeah. Well, it's cheap because they don't have to pay her. All right. Demetrius, thank you very much. Appreciate
it. Thank you very much. Stay warm tomorrow and, you know, keep your hands in your pockets. Maybe tomorrow, after that, it'll warm up.
Those gloves are going to work for you this weekend.
Let me just tell you something. I've only been to the emergency room 3 times with what I thought was frostbite. I'm good.
You're good?
I paid for these things. I am going to wear them. John Varvatos, everybody.
I
stop and I hold him up.
Expensive
right,
stuff.
Exactly right. Ask Aaron. She'll tell you who he is.
All right. Sure, yeah.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Demetrius.
All right. There goes Demetrius Ivory right now. Before we get to Violetta, let's talk to Judy Pilak. What's coming up at the top of the hour now?
Missed the meteor that
we'll talk about that coming up.
So it happened right after we got off the air, 7:10 yesterday. I know a lot of people, friends, who did see it.
It was very visible in Michigan, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it wasn't so visible here, but then it made a boom, and then they say it sparked an earthquake.
and normally
that'd be a big story, but you know we got a lot going
on. Too much going on.
You know?
That's what that was.
Yeah.
Did you hear it? Feel it?
No.
Oh.
Something. It was only like a 2-point-something.
Yeah.
But still, it shook the ground.
It did.
That should scare everyone.
Yeah. So, by the way, that would normally be a big story, but you know, we're too busy trying to figure out if we still have any kind of a government. We're not even sure about that. All right, we've got the news coming your way in 2 minutes. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Yes, in fact, we did dodge successfully a meteor last night, which is, I'm feeling pretty good about it.
I know people here in Chicago who said, someone on the north side near where my mom lives, who said they saw it or they felt it. And it was just this remarkable sight. I know from Michigan, supposedly, you could really get a good view. But I was walking out of the studio right about that time and just sort of walking. I had to run an errand. I didn't mm-hmm. see or feel a thing. Mm. Did you? Why are you talking like that?
Like a puppy. I don't know why I'm talking like a puppy.
Well, we have two puppies on the show. Judy has a puppy, and now I have a puppy.
I should mention this, that Judy Pilak actually has a video that's up on the WGNRadio.com site. Over 10,000 views. It's a Goodwill video.
Are you going to say that's because it's my puppy?
I would say, doesn't your puppy appear in this?
Yes. He may have gotten 10,000 views, and I got maybe two.
Yes, but
good
the puppy.
Move putting the puppy in it. By the
he's
way,
he's so cute.
But you guys are like, you know, like when sometimes friends get pregnant together, you know,
yeah,
and they like they want to, you know, they want to like have the kids together and all that at the same age. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is you guys are you're puppying together.
Yes,
I think that's very
together.
Lovely.
What it's, kind
you know,
of dogs?
You need support, and
it does feel like having an infant all over again.
Oh yeah,
the
I
way you
swore
gotta clean
I would not
up.
Get a puppy.
I'm cleaning mm-hmm. up like crazy today. I was taking stuff out of the carpet.
I made fun of dog people
stuff,
my whole life.
What do you mean?
I was saying, you know, the stuff, the drippy
the
number
stuff?
Two stuff.
Oh,
and
number two.
If anyone has any advice about this, because I was just using Resolve and it did not,
oh, no,
do,
no.
It did not
need,
do the trick.
You need to use baking soda and what's that stuff you put on wounds?
rubbing alcohol.
No, not rubbing alcohol, but the other, hydrogen peroxide.
Oh, hydrogen peroxide.
It will take, because you need to take the smell out or the dog will go back there and
that's what's
do it
happening.
Again. Yes.
He went,
because
yes,
he smells it, yeah, and it'll take the smell right out. You know what? I'm an expert.
Yeah,
wow.
Because you're
that's
doing a lot
of pathetic I am after 3 weeks. So I hated dog people, and now I am a total dog person.
They're so darn cute.
I love him more than my children.
Yeah. Oh. No, that's what happens.
Admission. Oh yeah,
no,
I
it's
do.
What happens. And right. I got to and the thing about the dog too is a dog, unlike a cat. I know, listen, I fully acknowledge that I've had cats in my house. I had for over a decade. I had cats in my mm-hmm. house. I'm not a cat person.
I was gonna say you don't seem like a cat.
Oh,
person.
I'm not.
I
but
had
it was
a cat
a standoff.
Yeah.
It was a stand. It was basically if I was ever gonna, you know, I mean, the cat came with the deal. That mm-hmm. was the problem. I mm-hmm. didn't really have a choice in this.
Yeah, I never really ruled the cat. The cat ruled me, but I ruled this dog.
Right, but the dog, the dogs are like, the dogs are reading your emotions and caring about them.
Right?
Yeah.
The cat does not.
Well, she follows me everywhere, and it's so cute. But then all of a sudden, you see them getting that I'm about to do it position, and I'm running across the floor to try to pick up the dog.
Because it's a bunch of tells, too.
Oh,
it's the,
yeah.
It's the sniffing. It's the one turn. It's like a half turn. Mm-hmm. And depending on, and eventually you'll get annoyed with them, like on a cold night when you're walking them, and they're like they can't decide. I'm too cold. I can't decide if I'm going to do this. And it's they turn around, and they turn around again.
It's like, do it.
Yeah, I don't care. And I don't care if Rusty pooped there yesterday, and you're really going for Sadie's poop spot. Just do it.
And it's the worst time to have a puppy. I don't know what I was
I
thinking.
Know.
It's so cold.
Oh, how about it? Last
and
night
that
I was
puppy
shivering
has to
outside.
Go out constantly.
Yeah, the puppy. We were saying like every half an hour, pretty
well,
much. Well, that's what we're doing
that.
Right now because she's 8 weeks old.
Oh gosh, I'm so sorry.
I know
my puppy's 5 months.
Oh
God, listen to this. Anyway, Judy's got
a
video. She's got a video at WGNRadio.com, and she's going to be at a Goodwill store in Willowbrook next Saturday, January 27th, from 2 to 4 p.m. We'll be talking about this all throughout next week as well. But if you just want to make plans now to be in Willowbrook at the Goodwill store from 2 to 4, Judy will be there next Saturday.
And will the puppy be there?
Well, I will bring the puppy if I need to. But I am. This should get people out.
I need to bring people out there.
If I need to, I will. Don't
bring the puppy.
Put it past me. But I'm going to do a display on the big game day and using all Goodwill, you know, supplies, which I've already gotten, which are so unbelievably cool. And then you get to put your name in a bucket or whatever, and someone gets to win it and walk away with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
So you'll be all ready for the big game. Which I guess we can't say, but you know which game.
The Northwestern game or the Blackhawks
Go Cats.
Game.
Any one of those. This will work for any one of those games.
I see what he did there. Hey, I did want to mention that we should play a little bit of this. Mm-hmm. Earlier today, Senator Jeff Flake went to an empty Senate chamber. Not a lot of his fellow senators came along with him for this ride.
Well, he sort of spoiled it by giving interviews about exactly what he was going to say, and then he said it.
Oh, that is true.
Very few surprises.
But because they knew what he was going to say, and he was going to be hypercritical of the current state of affairs as it pertains to the truth and to media with the president, he wanted to get up and make this speech. And I'm going to tell you this right now.
Mm-hmm.
He may not be taken seriously in his time, but this speech is going to resonate for generations because this is a really critical time in American history. Because things are going well in the markets, right? And the president likes to point to that. Republicans like to point to that. And Republicans want to get their stuff done. And they are getting amazingly fast and furious, if you will, numbers of things done in terms of the executive orders and making changes that they can make regulatorily without having to go through legislative process. Not a whole lot of big legislative stuff, but they did get the tax thing done. And now you have a repatriation. You had this amazing, this is why the market closed over 26,000. You had the repatriation of a bunch of money from Apple that they're bringing back to the United States from overseas.
That announcement
And they paid
big.
$39 million in... was it
billion.
Billion dollars.
With
I'm
a
sorry.
B.
$39 billion in taxes on it. So
it was a huge announcement. They're also giving employees bonuses, they said, $2,500, and they're bringing that money back and reinvesting in their company.
So this is that part is all good. And this could be incredibly all good if there were not such a decision by the president for his, basically, because he doesn't want to look bad under any circumstances. He doesn't want to be second guessed about the election because of Russia. So he says a lot of things about the Russian investigation that are not true. He says a lot of things about a lot of other things that are not true because he's always trying to polish his own apples, if you will. And this is a problem because he has made the press, which questions him when there is open, you know, obvious misinformation, deceit, lies, or just exaggerations. It runs the gamut. But when those things happen and the press calls him on it, he gets mad about it. Everybody's got somebody like this in their life that has never been wrong about anything and that is always right. And you can't ever fight with them about anything because it's you can't try to correct them. But the president of the United States is the most powerful person on earth. So when you do, to quote a lot of people right now who are critics and talking about this, this is absolutely true. When you combine that kind of ego and that slyness with the truth with power to actually affect a lot of change and change people's lives, that becomes a potentially very dangerous situation. And Jeff Flake, conservative Republican, went to the well of the Senate today to make this speech because he feels that this is a critical moment where we have to ask the president, regardless of the successes economically thus far, to be responsible as a president for all of the people of the United States of America, including the press who criticizes him, and understand that that's just part of the job. So let's start with this.
Mm-hmm. 2017 was a year which saw the truth, objective, empirical, evidence-based truth, more battered and abused than at any time in the history of our country, at the hands of the most powerful figure in our government. It was a year which saw the White House enshrine alternative facts into the American lexicon as justification for what used to be simply called old-fashioned falsehoods.
It was a nice time back when they would call them old-fashioned falsehoods.
Yeah, I don't remember him ever saying that. Lies.
Here,
news.
But you got to remember, the freedom of speech and freedom of expression, that's your First Amendment. Mm-hmm. To the Constitution. They don't get to guns till the Second Amendment. I just want to point that out for everybody out there who wants to, to thinks the press is full of crap and they want their own guns. Just remember, we came first.
It was a year in which an unrelenting daily assault on the constitutionally protected free speech was launched by the same White House, an assault that is as unprecedented as it is unwarranted. The enemy of the people was how the President of the United States called the free press in 2017.
And who had said that before him?
Mr. President, it is a testament to the condition of our democracy that our own president uses words infamously spoken by Joseph Stalin to describe his enemies. It bears noting that so fraught with malice was the phrase enemy of the people that even Nikita Khrushchev forbade its use, telling the Soviet Communist Party that the phrase had been introduced by Stalin for the purpose of, quote, annihilating such individuals, unquote, who disagreed with the supreme leader.
All right. So just going back, just for the sake of, for Violetta's sake, Joseph Stalin, you should know about him. He was the next door neighbor to her parents at one point. Joseph Stalin was the Soviet dictator, strongman, in the 1930s and 1940s. Now, he was our ally in World War II. But it was not a trusted ally. That was a marriage of convenience. The history books will all record. But we had made the decision that we didn't necessarily want to ignore them because they thought they had a very good chance of being able to beat the Nazis at their own game, and they did. But the issue here is that Joseph Stalin was a brutal dictator.
Right.
Tens of millions of people died at his hands.
Starved, tortured. He torched villages, did all kinds of horrible, reprehensible things.
And he's not comparing him in that respect. He's not comparing Donald Trump to Joseph Stalin in that respect. But Joseph Stalin started the whole thing and was able to execute his plan, his grand plan, because he controlled the message. And he did not allow for public criticism. Vladimir Putin does not allow for public criticism. And those who are publicly critical of Vladimir Putin or some of the other power brokers in Russia end up falling out of windows or getting poisoned.
Right. Well, you see that in other countries where journalists are murdered and their families threatened and things like that just for daring to speak the truth about the power, those in power.
Here in America, we do not pay obeisance to the powerful. In fact, we question the powerful most ardently. To do so is our birthright and a requirement of our citizenship. And so, we know well that no matter how powerful, no president will ever have dominion over objective reality. No politician will ever get us or tell us what the truth is and what it is not. And anyone who presumes to try to attack or manipulate the press for his own purposes should be made to realize his mistake and to be held to account. That is our job here. Of course, a major difference between politicians and the free press is that the free press usually corrects itself when it's made a mistake. Politicians don't.
I think that's a pretty excellent point.
Yeah, you have to put a correction where I feel as if there, you know, I know he's trying to erode the faith and trust in the media. And there are those, as we pointed out on the show before, who have gone across the line. And sometimes it feels as if CNN is becoming an adversarial critic of the president rather than more of a watchdog role where you're trying to watch over power. It seems to get personal sometimes with several of their reporters. And I'm not sure, it seems like the president is certainly to blame for part of that. It just feels as if there are so many great journalists who are doing the right thing and who are literally trying to get to the truth. And this overshadows, you know, those actions overshadow the vast majority of those who are doing that.
You know who's doing that? Fox and Friends. You ever watch them? They're the best. Totally honest. They said I weigh 139 pounds.
I thought it was 239. Are
139. It's 139. Best shape of any president ever. He's actually pretty, according to that doctor, and I'm just going to go with that doctor. Everybody seems to believe him, so I'm going to go with him. He had a uniform and everything. He's shockingly healthy.
I think the transparency of that was great because there were so many questions, and they said, hey, let's have at it. Ask any question you want of this doctor. And the press did ask
any
question.
And he's more than willing to make up the answer.
Well, I don't know that he made.
Has anything else been transparent, though?
Right.
And one time it's transparent, it's all good results.
Right, because he had good results. We assumed that he did have good results. Although they were spectacular results in some respects. And I'm not buying the 239, but that's whatever.
And give me that question with the lion, rhino, and camel again.
Or as his kids call the lion, the rhino, and the camel. Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour news?
Clay, KD, Curry. The Bulls go for the upset as they host the defending NBA champs, Bulls-Warriors, tonight at 6:30 on WGN TV Sports.
All right, coming on the Top 5-5, a little bit more of the Jeff Flake speech today, which I think will go down in history for its importance of it's a call to rationality in a moment where there has been some irrational exuberance when it comes to bashing the truth. But the markets seem to like it, and Susie Sunshine will be here to discuss that. The markets are ignoring that in large measure.
Yeah.
And closed today over 26,000, the Dow did, which seemed like a crazy idea a year ago, but it has happened. And that's great for your 401ks. That's great in a lot of ways for the American economy. But it will at some point make a turn, and the question is, are people going to strike, you know, what's the correction number? Or is there one because of the changes that the tax reform is actually yielding right now? Because there is more money in the marketplace for the moment. Now, the question is, does that last for the whole year? Does it last for many years? Well, Susie Sunshine will explain. And if you're a Bitcoin investor, and I got nothing but millennials telling me about how I didn't know anything. You didn't know anything. You don't understand. Bitcoin is where it's at. You don't have to. You're thinking about dollars and euros, but you know what? We don't anymore. We're not about your nation states. We're about transnational cryptocurrency. That's where it's all at, man.
Stop and take a drink of raw water. And
I'm gonna have my raw water because it tastes just like a toilet.
Yuck. Can you buy it with Bitcoin?
Raw water with Bitcoin, yes.
I bet you can. And avocado toast is probably both available.
Right. I am buying Bitcoin right now at 19,000 because it's going up to 30,000 tomorrow. And then it shows up at 9,000. Oops.
Something like 200 billion has been wiped out since the peak of Bitcoin.
Well, 200 billion of paper or computer money.
People's money.
I don't know, but I mean,
well, I see what you're saying. If it went up when you bought it for $500,
yeah, it's like,
but still, but people it talks this, about the vol, speaks to the volatility of what it is.
You talk to these people who are buying Bitcoin, and they haven't tried to sell. If everybody tried to sell the Bitcoin, there'd be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk to her about that as well. But first, Judy Pilak standing by. WGN News, 2 minutes away. Special Wednesday appearance for Susie Sunshine, Susan Schmidt. She's a senior vice president, senior portfolio manager for Westwood Holdings in Dallas, where she currently is. And Dallas is in a complete emotional, mental breakdown over the fact that there was snow on the ground. They just did not know what to do with themselves,
did
they?
Doesn't take much.
Well, they are having a little problem accepting the fact that it has been sub-20. And so we didn't actually get snow in Dallas. We got frost and the threat of snow.
Oh, frost!
To shut down a lot of
the
schools.
The threat of snow?
So, the threat of snow is enough to shut down a lot of schools and empty out the grocery stores.
So were people on the roadways? Because I heard in Houston they actually did have some snow and that they were told to stay off the roads.
That's right. Houston and Austin did have some snow and some of the highways were shut down over the weekend. So we did get inclement weather, but I have to say, as a native Chicagoan, I do laugh a little bit at the Dallasites because they're just not used to this. And it's probably a good idea that they're advising people not to drive because they're not very good at driving in bad weather. And so they're not used to icy conditions or snow. I have seen that happen. And it's not good. And I think the whole city probably has one salt truck. So,
right. Well, no one's
not really prepped for it either.
Right. No one's good in untreated roads. And I mean, look in Chicago. I mean, it's ridiculous. The first snow, and before people are used to it, and the streets are not properly treated, mm-hmm. that they don't have a therapeutic salt level, which you basically have to have on the streets in the in the winter. When you don't, before you have that, there's always going to be, you know, people are always, you know, sliding around. So I'm going to let the people of Dallas off on this one, but I do like the idea that we're going to cancel. Nah, boys and girls, nah, we're going to have to cancel the school because there's a threat of snow falling from the.
I'm sure everyone in Dallas speaks just like that.
Yeah, soon. They do, actually. They do. That's exactly how they speak.
Of
yeah.
course, that's all I hear.
It's a metropolitan city.
Wow, all what over we're going to have here. I saw that LBJ movie. I know how these people talk.
Right.
I know. You make it sound like they're Foghorn Leghorn, Row.
Yeah, it is. Exactly. But they, oh, come on. Like, they're not.
It's a sophisticated city.
Why not?
People like Susan
exactly.
are there.
I would just like to say that we're going to have white things falling from the sky, which, of course, is better than the other.
Do they ride their horses around still? Because that's what Ro told me.
The horse will slide around on the street. I've never, you know what? I've never spent any time in Dallas.
Mm-hmm. I lived in Houston for a while.
Yeah,
you can tell.
Yes, I can.
I don't really. So, like, in touch yeah. with the way things operate.
I gotta figure this part out now. I gotta go down there. Maybe I'll go down there tomorrow. All right, let's. Can we talk about a couple things here? A couple of very, very important items. First of all, Dow 26,000. You know, we've been talking about this on the air for a year because, again, almost a year ago today, we had a friend who told us, hey, it's going to be 26,000 mm-hmm. within the year. And I'm like, oh, no, it's not.
26? That's high.
Right.
Really?
Can't possibly be.
Right. Because at that point, it was close to $8,000 a little less than that, because I guess there was like 2,000 points right after he was elected between election and the inauguration. But that just didn't seem likely. And it was just 25,000 10 days ago. So, mm-hmm. you know, this thing has it's gone 1,000 points in fewer than 2 weeks.
Well,
that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, so the Dow is up 5.6% year to date. That is a really big move. We're you know, still just midway through January. It's only been a couple of weeks. So we've seen a lot of excitement in the S&P, likewise, up about 5%. Small caps, not up as much, but we're seeing, 3% there. Still very big numbers, big moves thus far in the year. It seems, an aggressively optimistic the year ahead, and we're just starting earnings. So we're about to hear from all these management teams on how they see the coming year and what things look like. And so I think that'll be very interesting. And, we'll see if this tempers the market at all.
There's a news from Apple today that caught a lot of people's notice. They're going to repatriate billions of dollars back over that they were holding overseas, bring it back to America, $38 billion in taxes generated. And then they're also going to create some more jobs and give some bonuses to their employees. It's the news you want to hear. It seems to be having an impact as well on the economy when a big company like that decides to do something like that.
So they had $250 billion overseas.
$350 billion.
Really interesting. Apple is the largest offshore cash reserve company out there. And they had about $250 billion at the end of September overseas. And what is happening is that the government, with the new tax structure, is saying that if you have money overseas, we're going to tax it. It used to be that you could keep it overseas. It didn't get taxed, and it would only get taxed if you brought it back to the U.S. Effectively, they're saying, we're going to tax it wherever it is. And so it makes sense for those companies to bring it back to the U.S. Apple's going to end up paying about $38 billion in taxes. And they announced that they'll be bringing the money back over.
Susan, we're having just a little bit of an issue here. It does sound like your phone is possessed. This is
like she's talking through one of those Darth Vader masks.
Yes,
Yes,
now it seems to be a little bit better. I don't know. Whatever you were doing, just don't do it. I know you're on like a computerized phone line, and that's one of the issues that we run into.
Are we really talking to Siri?
Yeah, but it was a little bit of like
exactly. We are using advanced technology here with Skype.
Yeah,
so
it's going great.
So Apple paying $38 billion in taxes, bringing $250 billion offshore. They're still going to have over $200 billion coming back into the U.S. And then along with that announcement, talking about investing in plants here, investing in manufacturing, and then adding about 20,000 new jobs over the next several years. So not tomorrow, but over the next several years. So a very positive announcement for Apple and, positive for the American economy. It's a feel-good announcement all around and, certainly complies with the new tax structure where the government is really telling companies, you're going to get taxed on it, bring the money back.
Yeah.
We like it here, too, because they're going to be hiring, apparently, and they're going to be looking for another city to set another a center together, mostly a service call center, but some other jobs as well. So they're still looking for a city.
Maybe we'll get HQ2 for Apple as opposed to Amazon, which does not look likely for Chicago, at least according to Inc. magazine. All right, let's talk about Bitcoin. You know, I've been warning all my millennials about this. Don't fall for this. I know you think you're missing the great gold rush of the 21st century, but the issue with the original gold rush of the 19th century, that didn't work out for a lot of people. I saw Treasure of the Sierra Madre. And there was, and I will tell you, there was also, you know, the tulip run, right, in Northern Europe. In the early part of the 20th century, or late part of the 19th century?
We've seen some issues here with, excessive prices and strange items, and Bitcoin might be one of those things. So Bitcoin has had a big move. It's dropped almost 50% in value since its high a little over a month ago. And so we saw Bitcoin trading close to 20,000, and then today was the first day that we've seen it drop below $10,000. Per unit. And it's come back up during the day. So it's closed up about 10% from where it opened. But that just shows you the volatility that can happen in different instruments. Remember that Bitcoin, we still don't know what exactly it represents. It's a store of value. It is for some, but it is not sponsored or recognized by any government. Millennials are very excited about it. I have a lot of college students who tell me how this is their great savings vehicle. And I caution them all and say, you have to be really careful because the bottom could fall out in this at any moment. And we did see that. So this morning you could have bought a Bitcoin for about the low point, I think, was about $9,700. It's since closed up. It's north of 10,000 today. But a month ago, somebody was paying almost $20,000 for the same thing. So right. It's got a lot of volatility. We've been talking about that. This is really, there's nothing underlying this that's generating profit or generating cash flow for you. So you are, it's very speculative.
Right. I want to go back to that point. May I just seize on that point for a second? There is nothing backing this up. Except for YOLO. Except for you only live once. That is the only.
Or actually, it's actually FOMO. You fear of missing out because you want to get in and now you hear your friends talking about it.
That's the only thing.
One of the things that's interesting here is that it has been very popular in Asia as well. And so we've seen some of the weakness in the price has been concurrent with both the Korean markets and the Chinese markets talking about how they're going to restrict or prohibit trading in Bitcoin. And we've seen that news come out the last couple of days, and that's really put some pressure on the price.
The poor Winklevoss twins, they're no longer billionaires as of today because of their investment in Bitcoin has taken such a hit. So we're worried about them at this moment.
The Winklevi. But weren't they billionaires anyway? Weren't they?
According to Bloomberg, that they're no longer billionaires as of today because they're Bitcoin.
Because they didn't get to participate in the Facebook thing. So the Bitcoin for them was really their.
That's going to be their Facebook.
Their big.
But what if it turns out it's just really them? It could just
but
be
it,
them
it
doing
does
this.
Seem like there's a generational thing here because I saw Warren Buffett speak this week and he was asked about that and he calls it a mirage and he says he almost wish he could short it and that it's going to end badly. And he was pretty strong about this is not a good thing. And then you see some of these younger tech billionaires, even like Mark Andreessen, say, no, this is the part of the future. Some sort of cryptocurrency, global currency will be the future. And it seems like people are so badly split. And there are smart people who are pro-Bitcoin.
There are.
Don't you think?
I just have a hard time.
I don't love it. I'm not investing.
Wait, you know what I think? Go ahead, Susan. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, the concept is very valid, and it's important to have global currencies. Right now, we look at that, and we think, really the leading currency is the U.S. dollar, the Japanese yen, the euro. So it's important to maintain a global exchange vehicle, and it might be, backed by a government. Perhaps it's not, and Bitcoin represents something that isn't backed by a government.
Yeah.
But at the same time, this is still a very new concept, very new technology.
Very volatile.
Yeah.
Very, very volatile. So be warned, this is not a safe play if you are thinking about making an investment. This is a speculation.
Yes, you can. I mean, like anything, you can lose everything. But this is a case where you really can lose everything in a flash, and there's no recourse to it. And there's no holding on to it. Maybe it'll come back. I mean, the Bitcoin could actually just disappear, right? And you would have, there'd be no value, or it could get hacked, or it could get, the market could get flooded.
You could get hacked. You could lose. because it's not. We have had cases where the systems have been hacked. People who think they have bitcoins have found that their accounts have been emptied. They don't have any. And at the same time, remember, somebody paid almost $20,000 for this a month ago. And now today, had they had to sell it, they would have only gotten $10,000 for it. So it shows you the volatility. Right. Now, we're still up well over 1,000% if you bought it a year ago.
Sure. Okay. All well and good. But the fact of the matter is that that could all go away in a matter of hours. It doesn't. And there's nothing
that can easily come down
that underlies us. Yes, that is true. I've heard that. All right. Susie Sunshine, thank you very much. Susan Schmidt from Westwood and Dallas. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Susan.
All right. We have now Judy Pilak standing by in the WGN newsroom. What do you got coming up? Rokan Show with Anna DeBlanchis right here on 720 WGN.
Yes. And look, Ro.
Yeah.
It's just about 5 o'clock, 5:10.
It's just, yeah.
It's that time.
If it's in the 5 o'clock hour.
It's the top 5 on the Rokan Show.
5.
Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlanchis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
That woman is always so annoyed with us.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number 5.
Republican Senator Jeff Flake of Arizona, Senate floor today. An empty Senate, by the way. He was in the well.
Mm-hmm.
Of the Senate, and he criticized the president for his attacks against the news media, say that they're not good for democracy. Flake says that some of the untruths of the past year are trivial, but others are not.
To be very clear, to call the Russian matter a hoax, as the president has done so many times, is a falsehood. We know the attacks orchestrated by the Russian government during the election were real. They constitute a grave threat to both American sovereignty and to our national security. It is in the interest of every American to get to the bottom of this matter, wherever the investigation leads. Ignoring or denying the truth about hostile Russian intentions toward the United States leaves us vulnerable to future attacks.
That is true. That is true. So they got to do something because, you know, they'll turn on him. He hasn't lifted the sanctions. Mm-hmm. Today, the White House put out a statement about how they're not the Russians are not helping with North Korea. And at some point, they can pull the pin on him.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they never had any, there was no collusion with the kids or whatever it was, they can start to pull the pin on him on Facebook. Use the same technologies that they were using on Facebook to try to help him, to try to hurt him. I think they have to be sort of aware of that, right?
Sure.
I got this. Don't worry about it. Vladimir will not do that. I know, because I just gave him a 5 trillion ruble apartment at Trump Moscow.
Did they have a Trump Moscow?
No, but remember they were going to. There was the Michael Cohen, his attorney, was talking about how they were in talks to do, I believe, a Moscow and a St. Petersburg Trump Tower. And it didn't really work.
Those are put on hold.
Yeah.
For the time being.
There are a number of Trump Towers that are they're changing the names of Trump Towers fairly quickly here. They're dumping Trump. In New York, the Soho, which I've stayed at a number of times. It's mm-hmm. a great hotel. If you want to stay down in that area of New York, it is a great hotel. It turns out it was one of those licensing deals. The people who owned mm-hmm. it, including a Russian oligarch who has been indicted.
Nice.
Was one of the guys behind it. But I'm going to say something right now. It's a nice hotel. I've stayed at a number of Trump hotels over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And other than the fact that he puts his name everywhere.
Yeah, you said it was in the bottom of the garbage can.
Yeah.
Trump.
It's everywhere. But they say he's a branding genius. I don't know if that's such a branding genius to do that as much as it is I got to get my name. I felt a little like insulted by the notion of it. Because if you're paying $500 a night for a hotel room, you probably
you know where you're staying.
You should be you should be significantly smart enough to appreciate stuff other than a gilded name in like fake script that is that if you can't read script you can still read it. All right, hold on. Wait, there's one more here from Jeff Flake.
Mr. President, every word that a president utters projects American values around the world. The values of free expression and reverence for the free press have been our global hallmark, for it is our ability to freely air the truth that keeps our government honest and keeps the people free. Between the mighty and the modest, truth is a great leveler. And so, respect for freedom of the press has always been one of our most important exports.
Again, this is a conservative Republican standing up.
Voted with Trump 90% of the time.
Who, by the way, today, Sarah Huckabee Sanders was like, well, he's only doing this because he's got low poll numbers. They excoriated him today for this.
Well, they knew what was coming.
But
he released quite a bit of what he was going to say before, including the Stalin comparison, which I think went a bit too far.
But it's not, because it's the exact words.
But
the problem he's quoting, that Trump was quoting Stalin, is the problem. Enemy of the people.
Yeah.
That is an important point. It is not too far to say that he used the same words that Joseph Stalin used that were eventually then taken back by Nikita Khrushchev. Nikita Khrushchev, the guy who banged his shoe on the table. Nikita Khrushchev, the guy that we thought was going to blow up the world in the Cuban Missile Crisis, said Joe Stalin was wrong for calling the press the enemy of the people. So, I mean, that I think is a very relevant and obvious connection to make. He's saying he's going to kill 50 million people would be wrong.
Yeah.
But that's not what he said. He's
no,
just
it isn't. But I think you sort of own who Stalin was when you make comparisons like that. It's you can carve out some things, I suppose. But to me, it sort of felt he made an excellent point. And I don't know, that the part didn't really work for me.
All right,
didn't work for me. The rest of it did. I understood what he was standing up for about. Hey, we need a free and independent press, and this is someone who tries to undermine
something.
It.
When you're sitting in a gulag eating a potato, and that's all you have for a month because you were on this show that had my name on it after I've already been executed.
Right,
when you're sitting there,
guilt by association.
Then you're going to go, you know what? I think Roe might have been right. Whatever happened to him?
I know.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. All right.
Number four.
But I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work for the American people. Okay. Thank you.
All right, now see, now there's a case of a president lying right there.
Yeah.
Right?
Boy, did he.
Yes, and so you want the truth to come out, and the American press, it all started 20 years ago today. Drudge broke the news. I remember exactly where I was, remember exactly what I was doing.
Sure, and in the year 2017, 2018, I think it would have been handled differently. Just in this kind of awareness of, yes, it was a consensual relationship, yes, but when a superior and an intern get together in that situation, it just, I don't know that it would have been tolerated and by even his supporters the way it was then today.
Oh, yeah, totally different.
Different time.
Environment, right, for this. But again, it was, and when you think about the infraction, I was always bothered by the fact that she was an intern. And it wasn't a level playing field, but you're never going to have a level playing field with a president, right?
No, you're not.
And it's just never going to happen, or with a CEO or some other kind of person in a workplace environment. But going after the interns, I mean, that was just a moment.
Cliche.
That was just the worst. It was just the worst. But the reality here was then Attorney General Janet Reno asked a panel of federal judges to grant permission for an independent counsel to investigate, who was investigating Whitewater, to expand the probe to the Lewinsky matter. Now, I want you to stop and think about that for a second. when you talk about, you know, all the left has always done it just like the right is doing. No, look at that. Janet Reno. Would Jeff Sessions do that, do you think? I mean, he might have to at some point.
I would think he would have to.
And the stakes are a little, you know, this isn't the difference here in terms of the Russia probe and all that. I mean, this is a real existential threat to the United States of America. If you've got an adversary of the United States trying to use our own social media platforms to change the debate in their favor, that's what we have to look at here. Because they'll do it. I mean, if they want to pull the pin on Trump, they'll do it. And the next thing you know, we're going to get Bernie Sanders as president. And you think we're screwed now? Wait till you see. All right. Now, here is... we're just going into the time capsule here.
Okay. It's throwback Wednesdays.
Yes. It's a throwback. So let's listen to Dan Rather's coverage of the beginning of the Lewinsky Clinton scandal.
The woman who could bring down the president appeared for the first time today, leaving her apartment with her lawyer. Lewinsky has indicated she will accuse Mr. Clinton of a sexual relationship, but only with a guarantee from prosecutors.
He knows that I want essentially full immunity. He knows that I want and would accept nothing less than a promise not to prosecute. So how close we are is really in his hands, not mine.
Tonight, independent counsel Kenneth Starr is considering whether to accept Lewinsky's oral statement.
Oh, boy. Yeah, yes. Really? Yeah, that was Scott Pelley, actually, not Dan Rather. Really? Really?
Yeah.
You know, over at the newsroom when he was writing the script, mm-hmm. Like, hey, watch this. I'm going to say oral statement.
I'll deliver it with a straight face and no one laughs. President right. tweeted a minute ago, and it was not about the fake news awards, which were supposed to happen about an hour ago. It was about witnessing an incredible moment in history, recognizing Bob Dole, American hero.
This goes up by Jeff Flake. No. But Jeff Flake's great, isn't he? That Bob Dole thing brought a tear to my eye.
Yeah.
That Bob Dole is a great American hero. Mm-hmm. There were a number of guys who were wounded World War II veterans who went on to incredible careers in the House and in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Inouye from Hawaii, Bob Dole,
right.
Of course, very famously ran for president as well. Bob Dole from Kansas. I've got just the ultimate, when you know the story of Bob Dole, it is a very special one. And that he was still around to be honored today is a very, very, very special moment.
And he represents a sort of a sentiment and a way of conducting business that even though he was tough, it seemed that he was respectful.
And if
doesn't
the
exist really.
Right. And if the Lewinsky scandal had popped just 15 months earlier,
mm-hmm.
he'd have been president of the United States.
That's probably true.
All right. We'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, Judy Pollack tells us what's coming up in the news at the bottom of the hour.
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
And when is that?
What do you mean, when is that?
When is what?
10:30.
What time? Where?
On Sunday. WGN-TV.
Okay. Oh, I forgot.
Make Sundays.
All right.
The official night.
I didn't understand, because on Saturday night is that new Pat Talasimo. Thomas, I had that for dinner last night. The it's the new Pat Tomasulo show.
Mm-hmm.
Man of the People.
Had him on yesterday. It sounds like a fun show.
On Saturday night on your Channel 9. Everybody, set your DVR. If you don't watch it, you should watch it live. But mm-hmm. if you don't, set your DVR for that. That's going to be something right there.
It will.
Congratulations to him. Mm-hmm. All right, top five, five continues. We're up to
number three.
Ann Curry. Once the host of NBC's Today Show, alongside Matt Lauer, spoke out for the first time.
Mm-hmm. She had been asked a number of times since his dismissal.
About Mr. Lauer. She was on the competition there, Good Morning America. Now, this comes 6 years after her tearful farewell on the Today Show. Now, she left, obviously, abruptly, after a decade at the network. And this is 3 years after she'd gotten to the Today Show, And so what was it all about, really, Ann Curry?
I feel outraged. I feel empathy for the victims. And now, given that it's part of a broader movement across industries across this country, I feel real hope that change is coming. For the first time in my life, I actually have real hope that we will see a day when women will finally be unbound and unleashed upon the world.
I liked Ann Curry so much on that show. And it did seem unfair to me at the time about the way the whole thing happened. Now she says that there was this culture of verbal sexual harassment. And she didn't mention his name, but
yeah, she doesn't really accuse Lauer of anything. She has not directly accused Matt Lauer of anything.
But I think Gail asked her at one point, do you think he was responsible for your end? She said, well, it's hard to know. Kind of, it could have been a number of people. I'm not exactly sure. She didn't say, no, it wasn't him. So she, right. She's...
Robin Roberts, you mean? Or is this a separate interview? Because this is the Good Morning America interview.
Oh, I'm sorry. She also talked to CBS this morning. I saw that one. So, yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Oh, competing same
Gail.
Interview. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. The thing about this is that at the time, remember the Today Show was having a ratings drop. Good Morning America was starting to beat it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the reason that they did it. And that's the sort of stuff that happens in our business. I think the
I don't know if you can unlink it though. I don't know. It seemed like the talk was that he was explaining that it was a chemistry issue, but that it was all her fault, kind of thing. And that he campaigned behind the scenes is what people are saying in these stories.
All right. Well, we wish Ann Curry. She's not coming back to the Today Show now.
Doesn't seem like it. No. She has her PBS show. I think she has a PBS show.
Well, she's got the right speed for PBS.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything sort of sits.
Kind of hangs
here.
Out there.
She hangs every word. And you're like, okay, all right. Okay.
It's called We'll Meet Again.
I would like to say this, though. She's, I was at a, we were covering the same thing once at mm-hmm. a convention.
Did you get to meet her?
And we got corralled in St. Paul, Minnesota, the Republican National Convention in 2008, and we got stopped, and we had to sit there and wait while they were moving Sarah Palin, and so we got caught in a where they like corralled us all and stuck us for like 7 minutes, and this was the day that they were moving Sarah Palin along with Trigg and Track and Trim and
the
what
whole
was
family,
the whole family, and then remember because the daughter had been, you know, they announced the daughter was pregnant. Like,
right.
We landed in Minnesota that Monday to start covering this thing, mm-hmm. and I was sitting next on the plane to a Republican operative, mm-hmm. and when we landed, we turned our phones on, and this woman goes, "Oh my blanking God." Because Sarah Palin was pregnant, but they corralled us. So we sat and chatted for because we had no choice. We were literally stuck to each other at this moment, and they were playing music in the hall. So mm-hmm. she started dancing. She's a lovely woman, absolutely lovely. In a professional moment where we're all kind of like, oh no, what are we going to do now?
Right.
I mean, you see what this is. Like. You've done this. You've seen what this is like when you're in a situation like that. And she's very charming and seemingly, you know, very. When you get to that level, there is an it factor. To those people, and she definitely has it.
Yeah. Well, she came across very fair, and had class and dignity. And I felt that I think a lot of women were with her when and men too were with her at the end there when she was. No longer part of the show, but she's got a PBS show now.
All right.
We'll meet again.
Checking in at
number two.
You know, JT, that's what I call him because we're very close.
JT.
Justin Timberlake.
Oh,
the you know,
JT.
When he was announced as the halftime headliner for the upcoming Super Bowl show. Can I say it in that respect? I guess I can.
The Bears are not going to be in that, by the way. I just want to let everybody know.
What?
I just wanted to remind everyone.
Will Tom Brady be part of it?
Could be. We'll see.
Most likely.
What if John Fox is sitting there, like, you know, what if they make him an analyst or something?
What if he's part of the halftime show with JT? And a surprise
busting a move
appearance
by Gidget, who was alive the whole time.
Yay!
The monkey?
Gidget the monkey. JD, you're going to love Gidget. Just don't let Gidget anywhere near your genitals.
What? What did you say? I don't want to know.
Gidget tends to rip them off.
Don't tie her to the goalpost. Don't tie her to anything.
Pretty sensitive to that. She'll try to rip your face off.
Seen it 100 times.
Yeah, John Fox had a monkey named Gidget. Anyway, the point here is, this is the first time he's been back now since Nipplegate. Remember that?
Yeah.
That actually was
Janet
ripping
Jackson?
Off. Yeah.
That
was
remember where you were moment for me.
Yeah, please. That's absolutely true.
Where were you?
In the basement of my friend's house.
Did everyone see it, or was one of those that everyone...
It was a DVR.
It was a DVR moment, wasn't it?
It was the first major DVR moment where everybody goes, hey, back
that
up!
Did right. I see that?
I think I missed it, and all my buddies were like,
yes,
dude!
I missed it, too.
Just missed it! And I'm like, damn it! But, you know, we found it eventually.
All right, so now, back to this. I'm so lost here in what we've just done.
Sorry,
here. He's got a new album called Man of the Woods. And he wants to talk about that, but then...
He got asked about it?
He got asked. This is with Zane Lowe. He got asked about the Nipplegate.
Oh.
What was the conversation?
What do you want me to say? Like, we're not going to do that again. You know, like, I stumbled through it. You know, to be quite honest, like, I have my wires crossed, and it's just something that you have to look back on and go like, okay, well, you know, you can't change what's happened, but, you know, you can move forward and learn from it.
And you and Jenna took some time to do that after the fact and kind of resolve the situation and, like, we're able to make peace with the whole thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was an accident.
He's gotten weird.
See, you did it. That's the thing. See, he does the same thing you do, where if there's a middle consonant sound in a word.
Okay, that's
not
the point
here. It's sort of
like
British and Jay-Z all at the same time, and I can't quite figure it out.
He had a baby, moved to the middle of nowhere, and now he's weird.
Doesn't he live in Nashville?
Somewhere like that.
Yeah, middle of nowhere in Nashville.
That happens to be the capital of the music industry, but okay. All right, fine.
He doesn't live in Nashville, I don't think.
But you know what? When you live outside of Nashville,
mm-hmm.
it would be like living in Oak Park. That's right. And when you live in, like, that...
Middle of nowhere.
The middle of nowhere in
there's mansions everywhere.
Nashville is literally a mile from downtown.
But Violetta may have a point. He served gourmet grasshoppers at his recent release party.
Oh, that's weird.
I mean, just listen to how slow he's talking. It's weird.
He's like Ann Curry.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Number one.
All right. This is the stupidest thing of all times. Well, stupidest thing this week. Okay. Third stupidest thing this week. The viral Tide Pod video.
Yeah, the
thing.
People eating it. Is that what the one
yeah,
you're talking
about? Yeah, kids, like, they pierce the Tide Pod. They put it in their mouth. They let it drip out. They don't realize that the stuff inside the Tide Pod is actually getting absorbed through your mouth. Your mouth absorbs stuff before you swallow it. A lot of stuff. That's why they put things under your tongue, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Pills and things like that. And these kids are morons.
Yeah.
Now this is Rob Gronkowski.
Oh, Gronk.
Yes. Got hired by Tide to try to stem the tide of this.
No, 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 no. No, no, no. No. What the heck is going on, people? Use Tide Pods for washing, not eating. Do not eat.
If anybody in the NFL, if I had to guess who would have eaten these
Gronk.
Yeah. For sure.
I mean, he's not exactly the role model of
maybe,
all role models, is he?
No. Maybe he's the one that they said, hey, you've done it, so tell him not to do it.
Right. You've experienced this.
Oh,
perfect.
My, oh, my
speak
God.
From firsthand experience.
Oh, my God. But is this, I mean, how dumb are we in America now where you have this, a guy on YouTube going, no, 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 no,
don't eat
Tide Pods. You're like, what? It's like, this is like the Simpsons come to life.
I know. And if you post a video of yourself on YouTube doing this, they're going to terminate your channel completely because people are doing it, challenging each other. It's crazy.
They should have hired Buzz Aldrin to do it.
No!
Poor guy. Just trying to get on his flight. National hero.
I guess. You know what? Judy's standing by. She's got the news coming your way in 2 minutes.
The top five at five.
Yep, it's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right. We've got, before we get to our next guest.
Yeah.
Congressman Raja, as I call him, because his last name is being withheld pending my ability to pronounce it.
Pronunciation abilities.
Yes.
For all of us.
Krishnamurthy. Krishnamurthy. Of course I can do it. Once you say it, I can do it.
Hey, with the name.
Did we get that right, Raja, by the way? I think we got it right, right?
You did. That was a great effort.
It took Anna to do it, though, by the way. And then I took credit for it. That's how this goes on this show.
Hey, that happens a lot in Washington, D.C.
You're used to that.
I'm pretty sure it is.
I enjoyed the Queen Under Pressure music. Very, very suggestive.
Yes.
Very subtle, this show. Very subtle.
Lives on a lot of levels.
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand.
All right. Well, just indulge me for just one second. I just want to remind you that Judy Bialik is going to be at the Goodwill store in Willowbrook next Saturday, January 27th from 2 to 4 p.m. Go out there and meet her puppy. I think is what's going to happen here. That's at 6300.
We're not sure the puppy's going to be there.
Kingery Highway.
It will be there if it needs to.
If the crowd size estimates aren't right, the puppy will show up January 27th from 2 to 4 p.m. All right. Back to you, Congressman.
Rowan and Anna, great to be back.
Thank you
very much for being with us.
All right. Now, you are a Democrat. Yes. Do you believe that there is going to be a continuing resolution to keep the government open, or do you think there is going to be a 2-year budget deal struck if there is no DACA deal struck?
I don't know. Right now, obviously the president and Republicans, the Republicans control both chambers of Congress. They would like to pass something on their votes alone, so that they don't have to compromise or make a deal with Democrats. And so they are desperately trying to do that as we speak. But obviously there are factions within their party, and they're trying to bridge divides. But in any case, I know what I can support, and I can't support the continuing resolution that's currently on the table.
Why is that? What do you like?
There are a few issues, Anna. One is that there's no multiple-year budget for defense or non-defense spending. There's no fix for the Dreamers, who are subject to deportation, by the way, in March. I mean, it's coming up very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. And then there's no reauthorization of community health centers, which are vital for the health care needs of places like Chicago, but also rural areas, and certainly for blue states as well as red states.
Let's a couple things here that happened within the hour. John Kelly, chief of staff, just appeared on Special Report with Brett Baer on the Fox News channel and said he tilted toward in his answers that it looks like Republicans are going to have to agree to a continuing resolution to keep the government funded for the next 6 months, that they will do that. And because they're not going to be able to get all the votes that they need to do this 2-year plan. They wanted the White House would like a 2-year budget confirmed, and they just don't think they're going to have the ability to do that. The DACA thing is interesting, and we all know exactly what happened here over the last week with the president and the meeting and the S house, or was it an S hole, or was it, you know, whatever it was. We get the whole thing, and it seems to have fallen apart based on that fracture. The momentum, there seemed to be some momentum for a deal, and it does appear, if you listen to Lindsey Graham, who also, if you I might mention, the chief of staff also basically said that Lindsey Graham is persona non grata now at the White House for all of this. But Lindsey Graham had said, the Republican from South Carolina, is a senator, had said essentially that there were a lot of people from the Freedom Caucus and other places who'd gotten in the president's ear when he seemed to be making a deal on the Dreamers, because there are some ultra-conservative members or immigration hawks in the Republican Party, in both the House and the Senate, who believe that even the Dreamers, even if they came over when they were 8 years old or newborns, that giving them the ability to stay here is amnesty, and they will just not support it. and that they can't get over the numbers that they need to get over to get to that point. That does seem like an outlier position in terms of where the American public is, where 80% of people believe that there should be something done for these people because they didn't do anything wrong. But there's still a chance that they'll be deported. Is there a possibility? Do you think that the White House would be? These are my words, Congressman. These are not yours. I'm not putting them in your mouth. But would be dumb enough to start deporting people in the primary season, and then the video of that will run all the way through the general election in 2018. Don't you see them just pushing this off?
Well, you know, I didn't think that the president would utter those words that you mentioned the other day.
You didn't? Really? You really didn't see that happening?
Didn't see that coming.
I kind of saw it happening.
I didn't see it coming in any kind of a meeting to discuss how do we take care of these folks in DACA. You know, right now, I think things are so volatile over there that I think that it's very unpredictable what's going to happen. But what I can say is, you know, we're having, you know, meetings with these Dreamers. They're coming into my office. I had a room full of them last week. These are some of the finest, most impressive people you'll ever meet. The vast, vast majority of them are working or in school. They're in the military defending our country, willing to bleed for our freedoms. Yeah.
Clearly, you know, you're going to look at this. I don't know if you're second generation, third generation, first generation, whatever, wherever you stand in all of this. Most Americans fall somewhere in that top five generations of being an American, and almost to a man and a woman, the vast majority came from crap hole countries, as defined by the president of the United States. And so this is, you know, because Ireland in its own moment was a crap hole country. Italy was a crap hole country. Germany, you know, people who were trying to get out of Germany or the Baltics or wherever it happened to have been, they got out for a reason.
Right. And I would also argue that the merit-based, if that was the rule of law at the time, many of our relatives wouldn't have gotten in.
That's exactly right, Anna. And I think that, you know, I got to give credit where credit is due. A lot of my Republican colleagues believe the same thing that you and I do. They want to do right by these people. They want to find a path. And I just implore them to please, please work within their caucus and get this done. Lindsey Graham, to his great credit, along with Senator Durbin, came to the president with a clean DACA bill, and they really tried to work it out amongst themselves and their fellow senators, and he dismissed it out of hand. And I think that was just a big blunder on his part. However, he can still fix the situation. And I think that, you know, now is the time. There's still a lot of kind of bipartisan discussion over this. I saw a bill dropped by a Republican and a Democrat in the House just yesterday that had 22 Republicans and 22 Democrats who were trying to find a path forward on the DACA issue.
Yeah.
And that is the type of bipartisanship we need right now.
Well, let's hope they do. And it's a partisan statement on my part, but it is true. I hope that they do fine, because I think that these folks need to be addressed here legally. But, you know, yesterday, and this troubled me greatly, you had Jeff Sessions, who was on the Fox News channel, said, well, these are people that are illiterate in their own countries that are, you know, coming here and applying. That is not true. That is on its face not true. The people who are illiterate in their own countries may be sneaking in here. They are not applying to, you know, in the visa lotteries and things like that, because they can't do the paperwork to do it. It's a very long and complicated, arduous process to get into those programs, to get into the immigration program, to come here legally to the United States. And that is not accurate. If he wants to talk about illegal immigrants coming in here like that, that's one thing. That's a believable story. This one is not. All right, Raja, thank you very much. We got to run. We got news at the top of the hour.
Thank you, Ro.
Thank you very much.
You.
Congressman Raja.
Thank you very much. Stay warm.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Here is Judy right now to tell us what's coming up in the WGN News at the top of the hour. It's the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Yes. And I did not see this meteor. Apparently very visible in Michigan. But people here in Chicago saw it too.
They're saying it's a meteor.
Thank you, Kevin.
Are there other theories out there?
Yeah,
there could be. There could be. You never know.
It's the aliens, is what he's trying to say.
I didn't see it. I didn't hear it. The loud boom, some people said
exactly.
They heard. Oh, no. Kevin, look at what you did.
I was just saying, I heard from people that maybe it was just government manufactured.
Kevin Power.
Yes, creepy uncles. Good to hear from you. It's been a while.
Oh, is that who told you, Kevin?
I can't confirm. I'm not going to reveal my sources over.
I would just like to say, just want to say one thing, Kevin Powell. You're 100% right. This, by the way, was a visit that I have. They were coming to see me, the aliens.
Oh, that was close.
Because this is their Thanksgiving.
Oh, this is when they feast?
Yes, this is when they exactly on human brains.
Wow.
And they were coming to feast on mine, as they have many times in the past.
How'd you keep them away, creepy uncle?
I didn't. They ate my brains, and then they left. And it was, you know, like every Thanksgiving, I just couldn't wait for them to leave.
I thought you were going to offer them your roadkill chili.
Do the aliens also have a racist uncle somewhere when they show up to...
They do. They have. There was a lot of discussion about what a genius Donald Trump is at the Thanksgiving table, yes. And then some people said that he was the worst thing ever happened to America, and it was very much like your Thanksgiving.
It's a traditional Thanksgiving.
Huh. Did they come brains into the basement, or did they lift you up?
They were eating my brains in the basement. That is correct.
Just making sure.
Oh, gee.
I have to go because Wheel of Fortune's about to come on.
Bye, bye, creepy uncle.
I hope he has enough money to buy vowels.
All right.
So there are other theories.
Yeah, there's other theories. But
I was telling
you
guys.
Thank God Michelle Nichols is here from the, I'm sorry you had to be here for that, from the Adler Planetarium to explain exactly what did happen last night over the skies of the Midwest, creating a big boom over Michigan. And then, some people said they felt the earth shake as a result of this. First of all, what was this and why am I not worried about it, Michelle?
Well, I can neither confirm nor deny. No, actually, I can confirm. It was a meteor, and it's still a little unclear as to how large it was, but estimates are somewhere around 3 feet-ish wide, and it came into the atmosphere about 28,000 miles an hour, and it was traveling east to west, but a pretty steep angle, and it was coming in fast enough, and the... air pressure, basically the buildup of air pressure, basically caused this thing to shatter, and it blew apart into little pieces, and those little pieces rained down on parts of Michigan.
Oh boy!
So, 3 feet wide. I would think it would have to be more than that to trigger the equivalent of a magnitude 2.0 earthquake, which is what they're saying.
Yeah, actually, the cool thing that I think about all this is that it wasn't actually. The earthquake register wasn't actually due to anything hitting the ground. It was due to the sonic boom energy interacting with the ground. So this was actually when this thing was coming in, it's coming in, of course, faster than the speed of sound, you're going to get a sonic boom. And so that's actually
what
that was. Yeah, that's what people heard.
Now, when it was complete or when it breaks apart, are those pieces also moving faster than the speed of sound?
Yes, initially, but they're going to slow down pretty fast. They're tiny.
And do they have enough mass to create that sound, that sonic boom sound?
Yeah, if you've got something going faster than the speed of sound, it's going to make a sonic boom, and it is big enough to be able to do that. Yeah, pretty cool.
So, is anyone able to recover this? The pieces that you're describing, do they know where it hit exactly in Michigan?
Yeah, so we have a pretty good idea of where the pieces came down because the pieces were tracked on weather radar. So once they got low enough to the ground where the radar could pick them up, you could see a radar signature of these pieces. Now, basically, they show up like great big humongous raindrops. But the size of these objects is probably somewhere in the neighborhood of
12 grams or less per piece.
And were there, like, millions of these things? Or?
Well, we don't know. A lot of this probably burned up way high and above the surface of the Earth, but we know that some of it probably did hit the ground. There are some folks who are probably scouring some backyards in that area of Michigan right there. So, and there's some scientists going to be mounting some expeditions to go search for pieces. So
now, when those things first land, they're going to be hot, though, right?
No, actually, they're going to be once they hit the ground, they're going to be ice cold because the internal temperature of this meteor is going to be the temperature of space, which is really, really cold.
Oh boy.
And yeah, so it's kind of like you can do an experiment. If you've got an apple from the fridge, mm-hmm. take it out, run it under some hot water for a few seconds, and then take it out of the hot water. What's going to happen? It's going to cool off almost instantly because the whole mass of the apple is really cold, and it's going to take a lot more hot water to warm it up.
Oh, so. I thought you were going to say it's going to like explode or something.
No.
That'd
be awesome. Now,
you know what? Please don't.
28,000 miles an hour.
Michelle, pay no attention to her. She was just sucking on a Tide Pod. All right, let's talk about the common occurrence of this, though. Right, this kind of stuff happens with greater regularity than I think we acknowledge, because it happens all over the world. Right, we get.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, it happens. Something this size is a little more rare. You're going to get something this big maybe about once a month, visible somewhere on Earth, but most of Earth is water. So most of the stuff falls into water and no one ever sees it. It's only when we've got this over a relatively populated area where we've got dash cams and security cameras and all sorts of fun things to be able to record it, that's when it gets people's attention.
And this one certainly did. I mean, you see, a lot of people in our area said they saw it. We've got a texter who says in Lake Geneva they were able to see it. Someone on the north side of Chicago had some video of some sort that they were posting.
Yep.
A lot of folks had video.
Yeah,
and
I heard that
spectacular.
someone in Alsip had some video mm-hmm. as well. So, it's really neat to get that video, especially in the area in Michigan, but because you can get it from different angles. And then you can see the angle that it was coming in at, and then you can trace it backwards and start to figure out where in the solar system this thing came from.
Oh, that's pretty wild.
Now, and what are they looking for to figure that
on
out?
The ground?
In terms of the so you get by the content of whatever this thing is. And how are they going to know? I mean, you know, there's so many things on the ground. I still can't quite figure this out. So, mm-hmm. you know, you go out there you're out there looking for it.
What are we looking for?
Yeah, what would you be looking for? What would you...
Yeah. So here's what makes it a little tough. Number one, if this thing is made of rock, if it's a mostly rocky thing, mm-hmm. it's going to look a lot like all the other rocks.
Right.
And so that's why some of these types of meteorites are pretty rare, because they're here. They just don't stand out like a big chunk of metal might, and so.
But if it's a metal, it's gonna. Then we're gonna know that's gonna. What is your guess on this?
I mean, I'm guessing, and it's totally a guess, that mm-hmm. it's some kind of rock conglomeration.
And is that the most common type of these things?
Hard to say, because it depends on. I mean, you might say that the iron meteorites are really common, but they're just really easy to find. And because they react with magnets and all that kind of stuff. So we hope it's some kind of rare thing, because then we can learn more about the solar system that way. But what they're going to look for initially is maybe some holes in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
It was snowing at the time that this happened, so some of those holes might have gotten filled up, but some of these pieces might have been a little bit bigger. And just to give you some context, those little pieces, if they're like 12 grams in size, that's like the mass of 12 paper clips. So we're not talking a huge, giant, ginormous chunk of stuff. So, but it'll be interesting to see what people start to dig up.
Are you volunteering to go on a meteor hunt?
No.
I wish I could.
Well, you would.
You'd be perfect,
yeah,
Michelle.
Yeah, because this is what you should be doing. But me, I'm like, I would lose interest 4 steps into this thing. Well, that doesn't look like a meteorite to me. I'm moving on.
Yeah, there's a bunch of us that probably would have like hopped in a car last night to go to Michigan and go find them. But
and the only way you would know,
I'm going to get in the way of the research scientists who are looking for these things.
Sure.
So I'll step aside. Maybe they'll let me look at one if they happen to find one.
And they'll know this based on the radar signatures and where they approximately think this stuff came down.
Say it again. Sorry.
The radar signatures from last night are going to be their first piece of the puzzle to figure out where these things came down.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, it's a very important piece of the puzzle because then it can really help localize where these things are. It's not perfect because, of course, the radar signature is showing where these were above the ground, but they weren't that high up. So some of the smaller pieces might have gotten pushed by breezes, so they might be a little farther off than where the radar signature was. So we'll see where they all finally end up.
All right. Well, very exciting night in Michigan, at least.
Yeah, and I missed it by 10 minutes.
Why?
I was out. I was driving in the right direction. I missed it by 10 minutes. So, yeah, I was kind of bummed when I found that.
Which direction did you have to be looking?
East. It was toward the east.
That's why I was walking west.
You were driving. Did you know this was happening?
No, not at all.
All right, okay.
Nope. I just mean
if she's on some sort of a hotline or something, she gets like an alert on her phone.
I found out afterwards. So yeah, I started seeing emails floating around from my colleagues at Adler, and like, wait, did you hear about this? And then we started seeing video, and then we got some of the radar signatures from some folks down at Johnson Space Center in Texas, and just things started. Sorry for the pun, blowing up, and a lot of us didn't get much sleep last night because we're pretty jazzed about this.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting to look at that video. It is.
That's a very big
really
deal.
Is. Yeah. Yeah, I saw NASA caught it on a meteor camera in located at Oberlin College in Ohio, and it still was. It's pretty spectacular if you check it out.
Yeah, people saw it had color. It was kind of greenish at the front and kind of reddish at the back.
Yeah, red. I saw. And, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's
and how big was the main piece, do they think?
They're thinking maybe around 3 feet-ish.
See, something that big, or that small, I should say, causing all this commotion.
Yeah, totally. And it's really neat then to see, is it more dense stuff? Well, maybe then it was a little smaller. If it's less dense, maybe it's a little bigger. I mean, there's all sorts of
now, let me ask you a question, Michelle. Are they like deer? If there's one, there will be another one right behind it? Is there?
No, not necessarily. No.
Okay.
No, pure dumb luck that we actually got to see this one.
Okay.
Will there be an ice age that follows?
Yeah.
Just like the movies.
Right. I don't know. What...
Oh, wait. We're in an ice age.
Oh,
right
yeah.
Now, aren't we?
Good
it's
point.
Right now.
Yeah.
All right. Michelle, thank you very much. Michelle Nichols, Master Educator of Astronomy over at the Adler Planetarium. Thank you very much for being with
us.
Thanks,
Michelle.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Judy, what's happening in the WGN newsroom?
Plan your home improvement and DIY project Sunday mornings on WGN-TV. Watch House Smarts with Lou Manfredini, 10:30, followed by Weekend Workbench at 11.
All right, my friends. A couple things coming up that we shall not miss before the end of the show. It seems like this last half hour of the show really is a sort of an anything goes kind of moment, and there are things that need to go, that need to be discussed, that have happened in the news or that are happening. You know, not that it's not just what's happening in Washington, although that's good enough. It was good. Today was an historic day in a lot of ways. And you do have John Kelly, the chief of staff, breaking some of the rules here. Donald Trump, by the way, acknowledged today in a meeting that the Mexicans are not paying for the wall. The Mexican government will not be paying for the wall.
In a private meeting, or was it?
It was a meeting with lawmakers. And John Kelly went out there to clean that up and said, well, there's other ways, you know, maybe we could try to, but not directly. No, they will not be paying for the wall. And by the way, John Kelly also went on to say, and when we, this is all with Brett Baer, by the way, who we had on earlier to promote this. John Kelly went, and by the way, it's not really giving a wall so much as it is like a thing. It's
a barrier,
like a wall.
Fence.
There could
has
be some
been
other.
Used.
Could be some drones. Yeah, 100% of a wall.
It's fluid,
right? And the president's open to it not being a complete wall. Now that's until Breitbart starts to light him up. And he goes. I mean, see, the president has these moments where he's like, "Yeah, no, I got to lead. There's things I got to do here that make sense for the country, not just things that make sense to what I said before." And then he gets caught, and then the Breitbart people drive him all nuts, and he gets a call, and then you know, Eric calls him, and he's like, what do you want? I've got issues. But my favorite thing, my favorite crazy thing of the day is that He did say, and we'll get to some other, you know, non-Washington stuff, but
yeah.
But he did say that that mental acuity test mm-hmm. that he took,
that we all took on the air yesterday.
Proves that he's smart enough to be able to handle this North Korea thing. I don't think so. Neither Violetta nor I had perfect scores on it, but it is a. But we're not as smart as the president, clearly, because we're not president and we're not billionaires.
Well, no one on earth is. He's one of the smartest humans of all time.
True, but everybody else I know who's taken that test has gotten 30 out of 30.
Really? Well, we have pressure. You guys were broadcasting live. I mean, it's a lot more pressure on a radio person than someone just doing it, you know, at their home. Just trying to make excuses for you guys.
Yeah.
Make you feel better.
Yeah. Thank you.
You still passed.
Thank you.
You only needed 25 to pass.
So at least we got the lion, rhino, and camel, right?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be,
that'd be embarrassing.
Disappointing.
I flagged down a shorty bus earlier today and said, I think I need a ride.
They didn't even let you on.
Exactly. I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry. There's a lot. There are people who, these are high functioning people on this bus. All right. May I stop here right now? Mm-hmm. Judy Pilak standing by. She's got the WGN News in 2 minutes. Contra with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WGN.
Okay. The president wants you to know he does exercise more than you think. Okay?
What does that
Shut
mean?
Up.
The shake weight?
Hold on.
Golfing is an exercise. Melania, and you guys might agree.
It's shake weight time. Do they just do the shake weight? I don't think golfing is exercise. I mean, it depends.
If you're riding the cart,
If you're walking, it's you know, you walk 5 miles. Yeah, but you play golf, play 18 holes.
But considering we've seen pictures of him in his cart on the green,
yes, right.
His course down in Miami. Somebody sent me a picture who played it recently. He has a helipad. Next to the ninth hole at Doral, mm-hmm. next to the tee box. So if he wants, he can literally just get out of his helicopter and just hop on the tee box. So he's got a helipad in the middle of the golf course.
Yeah.
Which is actually, to be honest, pretty sweet if you own the course.
Yeah. Yeah. But if I own the course, I would do that too.
Right. Yeah. Probably wouldn't walk it either.
Yeah. But I don't think that's really. He actually doesn't even take a car. He takes a helicopter from shot to shot. Right. If you walk, it's exercise, and it can be very draining depending on the course, because you're gonna go, there's a lot of up and down the hill.
That's right.
There's a lot of that.
It's really, though, it's not exercise.
If you walk 5 miles, it's exercise, but he's not doing it. That I would argue, if you walk 18, especially like I played a course a couple of weeks ago that was, we had to walk, and it was, by the time I was done, mm-hmm. I'm like, can I get off this course? Yeah, because there was a lot of uphill and downhill. But that's not the point here. The point is that he's exercising, and everything is a pushback. Even when his doctor says, hey, listen, you're in great health, maybe you could, cut back on the carbohydrates and the fat and exercise more. I exercise. Everything is a defensive reaction. You don't have to be defensive about everything.
And who doesn't have to exercise?
And every doctor says that all the time to everybody.
They do.
He's defensive and then tops it off with, I'm the best exerciser of all time.
But the crazy thing was, when he did say that test that we all took yesterday, that acuity test, which is actually, it's a screen. It's not even a test. It's used as a screen because it takes 5 minutes. They want to make sure people are, you know.
And it's always the same test.
Now, some of the stuff changes. I've seen different versions of it. But the idea is the same. And it's, you know, it's like, it's 10 fairly simple exercises that you have to do. And it was that makes him smart enough to be able to take on North Korea is not the truth. It's just, you know what, and I know why he's doing that. He's not doing that to say that that's actually what, that makes him smart enough. He's saying to his people, which it was interesting, because CNN did this story. They went to Youngstown, Ohio, and they talked to these people, and they're like, well, we read the Twitter, or the tweeter. Thank God he's got that, because otherwise, if you just watch the news, you would hate the guy. But, you know, we get to see what he's really like by watching his Twitter. To which I stopped and I did a spit take. I spit my coffee actually out of my nose, came out of my eyeballs. I spit it so hard, which was, wait a second. Wait. See, that's the point. If you just listen to somebody tell their own story, it's one thing. But if you then have, if they're lying to you and you have somebody go, oh, no, that's a lie. You should be careful about that. Mm-hmm. Oh, we don't want to hear that.
Well, this is fascinating. The New York Times tomorrow is not running any editorials in print. The editorial board is instead devoting the page to letters from Trump supporters. 1 year later, the progress report, hearing directly from those people you're talking about, kind of cutting through the spokespeople and saying, how's he doing? So that will be, that's an interesting move.
Listen, he's got still a very solid support base. There, they do not move. They are, is in the marketing terms, sticky.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Just what it is. They are nothing to sneeze at, which brings me to my next story.
Sneezing?
We promoted this yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
You can kill yourself by stifling a sneeze.
Wait, we're doing a story that we promoted? When did we start that?
So I guess we win a prize or something, right? Because it happens once a year. This is like hitting the lotto.
You're cutting it close, too.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, we have to.
You can kill yourself if you stifle a sneeze.
It does feel terrible, doesn't it?
I get so scared when I almost can't sneeze.
Suppressing a sneeze can rupture your throat, burst an eardrum, or pop blood vessels in your brain.
Oh my God.
Yeah. If you try to stop it from coming out of your nose.
Sneezes are also very dangerous if you're driving. Think about it.
Yeah.
Your foot is on the gas pedal. You're driving. You close your eyes. You probably press down on the gas pedal and accelerate, and you don't know what you're doing for like 1 to 2 seconds.
Yeah, those are
important. And you take
moments.
Your hands off the wheel to cover your mouth because that's a reflex.
Yeah, that's true.
Remember, Sammy Sosa missed time after sneezing and injuring his back, too, so there's that.
I have done this. Okay. I actually...
You did it.
Sprained my ankle sneezing.
Did you like walking down the stairs and trip or
yeah,
what?
Yeah, so just walking on the street sneezing and then twisted my ankle. I was holding coffee in one hand, phone in the other. It was not properly bound, sneezed, and I snapped my ankle.
Oh, my.
Yeah, can happen.
They say burst eardrums, broken backs, and
broken back.
Even death from a sneeze.
Death
cramping
from a sneeze. Now, because the sneeze, I mean, but there are the people, though. Is it everybody's got one of these in their family?
The annoying sneeze?
That's the dramatic sneezer?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. It's so crazy.
My mom.
I'm like, what did you just do? Do you want me to say God bless you? Was that a cough?
Yeah, some people you can't. Was that a cough or a sneeze? What was that?
Yeah,
was like a hybrid thing going on there?
Well, that's it. The hybrid, that's a bad one. But it's a people. Ah!
Honestly, I think I'm that guy. I sneeze really loud. I just let it all out.
But do you do like.
I don't do it to be dramatic. I just, like, that's what's happening.
No, but not on the inhale.
Marriages have ended for less.
My biggest pet peeve, people that sneeze into their hands.
Ugh.
Oh, God, you do the dab.
You sneeze into the air in front of the other people?
No, you do the dab. You put your arm over and you kind of just...
Into the crook of your arm there?
Yeah, you just
kind of
cover your face. People that go right in their hands, I'm like, I never want to shake your hands ever again.
Okay, but sometimes it's too fast and you don't know what you're doing.
I run. I start running. If I have, like, my hands are full, I can't do the dab, I just run and find a place to sneeze, like in the corner. Into the hands? Oh, God.
It's a split-second decision.
Did you ever see the video of how, even if you do cover most of it, a lot of the way a sneeze projectiles and how far it can travel?
Yeah, I love watching that.
It's pretty gross.
No, you don't want to know. You don't want to know. I mean, especially during flu season, you don't want to know.
You could be on the same train car and be exposed.
It's yeah, the other end
on
of
the other
train
side.
Car. Yeah.
What about those people that, you know, tell bless you before you even sneeze?
I love doing that to people.
No, oh, and
the
then
worst.
You lose your sneeze.
It's the worst.
It's funny.
I feel so robbed when someone does that to me. Like, I'm mad for like an hour. I can't get over
you
it.
You see the buildup? You're like, bless you. You gotta sneeze? You gonna sneeze? You have to sneeze?
That caused a breakup.
That's just horrible. Yeah, why would you do that to someone?
Might get me killed someday, but it's really funny.
It's not funny.
To me, it is.
Yeah, and I'm going
to
sneeze.
Because you're
right
kind of working your way up to it, right? It's sort of like that. You know it's coming.
You can sense
and
it.
And you're kind of working your way up to it, and you're trying to. And then there's a little party that's going that says, "I'm really going to enjoy this." Uh-huh. And then there's another part of you thinking, "Well, how am I going to? Am I going to be safe if I do this? Like, you know, driving?" Yeah. And there's a whole mechanical thing that happens in your head.
And then someone's talking to you, and you're like, "I'm not listening to a word of this."
Right. You got to kind of avoid. And then you're working your way up toward the season. And then you have to make a decision. And to this point, I think to Violetta's point, uh-huh. very rarely do I say that. That you have a moment where you have to there's decision time. Am I gonna stifle? How am I gonna react to this when it occurs?
Yes,
and without losing it, that's the key. You're like,
is it gotta get
let
it out?
Me not mess this up. I can't mess this up
because at that point it becomes like it's uncontrollable. You got to do it.
Right.
You got to have it's just got to happen.
I like sneezing.
Yeah,
it does feel good post sneeze.
It's sort of in the middle of it. It feels good.
Yeah.
Sort of like
right, when you feel like the release. Right?
Yeah, it's like a release. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's kind of what's happening
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And that and we know what we're talking about here.
Yeah,
and the thing is that it's this incredible release. And then you're like, I'm sorry, did I get you?
I stood up there. Sorry. But once you do feel the sneeze on you, right, like you could be having a conversation and you could feel that sneeze building up and nothing that person says
nothing.
In front of you. It's like when you're at the dinner table at a restaurant, you see your food coming in the distance, like the waiter holding it. Whatever that person in front of you is saying, you're not listening.
Or someone hot walks in behind you and you're like, oh, lost them.
Yeah, I mean it's tough to focus when you got a big sneeze coming. Or your
I'm sorry.
Coming.
What did they do behind me?
Yeah, I don't,
like
I lost
a hot
that
girl
as well.
Walks in, and it's like attention.
Oh, you worded that very weird. I was completely lost after that.
Sorry.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
I was.
If a hot girl walks in,
I had a sneeze coming,
and you're about to sneeze. You're
what
like,
do you do?
I'm gonna risk blowing my brains out.
That's
worth it, dude.
Crunch time.
I'm gonna stifle. What's up?
But then you would look crazy. Anyway, you should just
hopefully
sneeze right in her
quickly.
Face and then apologize.
It's a good conversation starter.
Yeah.
Excuse me. By
the
way,
the ice.
I have Ebola.
Oh. You already have it now. You want to come home with me?
Exactly.
Great pickup line.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Let's try that one.
Thanks for thinking of it. It's a third world pickup line, but it works. That's the sort of thing people say in crap hole countries.
Oh, gee.
Hey, there is an etiquette to this, I'm assuming. If you have, my problem is it happens in succession. I can't just sneeze once.
Oh.
I get this thing. There's certain, I don't know what it is. I've been trying to figure it out my whole life, but there's something that will create a spasmodic, like 3 minutes of this.
3 minutes?
3 minutes.
That's a lot.
It is a lot.
And you've been
there's
got to
be 20 times.
You've been tested for allergies and things like that? It's not
yeah,
something
I think
triggering.
It's mold.
Oh.
And yeast. I'm not good with the yeast.
So Mary Vandeveld in here, every time she chews a piece of spearmint gum, she sneezes like 6 times in a row.
It's probably She's allergic
to spearmint
some.
Problem.
I guess. I'm just saying, maybe it's something with gum or something.
So she should not do that then if she's identified.
Well, she's
that.
Got the whole packet now and she's like, I got to finish it.
I stopped doing lines of mold years ago because of this.
Great choice. Really great move.
Your health took a dive.
Yeah, I did. Well, this is like, it's like the president working out. It's the same sort of thing. It's like I stopped that. I don't know. Mold is bad and the yeast. Because beer will sometimes do it to me.
Oh,
like you know, like
you
beer,
sneeze.
and then all of a sudden I get this like sneezing jag, and what? That's a bad. Then it's over, but then I look like I've been crying for hours.
Right. Your face is all red, swollen. What happened, man? You okay?
I'm fine.
I'm totally fine. I'm sneezing. I swear.
I had a Bud Light. Why is he crying about that? Anyway. Yeah, it's a
now
bad
I really want to sneeze.
Yeah, well, if you do, just the point is, don't stop it. Don't stop it because you can rupture your throat or blow your brains out.
Seen it 100 times.
Yeah.
I've never tried stopping it. I don't know.
Kevin's so, right. Many experts agree best to sneeze into the bend of your elbow,
mm-hmm.
not
do
into your hand.
Do the dab.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right there.
Right there.
That was even dramatic.
Then it just stays right there, though. Do you ever, like,
tend to
that?
Well, like, you go to the ground and, like, I don't know. It's better than your hands and people just, like, wipe it on their legs.
Yeah.
Like,
okay. Unless you go wash your hands right away.
Stay away from you.
Some people have a cute sneeze.
Yeah. Like,
yeah. Or, like, it's just, they don't, it doesn't even make a noise. It's just sort of like, and that's fine.
It's like
yeah, that's right. I refer to those people as marriage material.
I never knew sneezing could end so many marriages and relationships.
Or start new relationships.
There are people who complain about their partner who's a bad sneezer.
Well, it's the little things. Like, you know, when someone's annoying you, then those 30 sneezes you're talking about in a mm-hmm. row might really get under someone's skin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they have. Yeah, that was a relationship ending. I've been left over that and for less.
Snoring is worse than sneezing, though. I mean, sneezing is like a little bit of a pet peeve, but snoring is a problem.
God.
I think I'm a goner in that department because I think lately I've been a really bad snorer.
Wow.
Don't sleep on your back. People, when they sleep on their back, get snore a lot.
Yeah. There's also the drinking thing, too. What? That was, by the way, one of the great Saturday Night Live pieces.
What?
Drunk Boyfriend, where you can order from Amazon your own drunk boyfriend.
Why would you want to
do that?
It's
like a drunk boyfriend. Well, it's a piece of comedy here. You wouldn't actually want to do it. But it's like you have to roll them over. They're drunk. They repeat themselves. They get into a fight at the bar.
Like, I love you. And really do.
And then they were like, I don't need water. I'll have one more beer. And then you have to roll them over when they're snoring in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Or just suffocate them with a pillow.
It's either option.
That got dark.
You can hold their nose until they can't breathe, and then they'll choose to move themselves.
No, not if they've been drinking all night.
Right. And then you just kill them.
Yeah, then you
take the risk.
Or Violetta, just once she's done with the guy.
Bye-bye.
That's how it works. But that's when that sleep number bed comes in handy.
Yeah,
it's true.
She doesn't, but she will not shoot them in the sleep number bed because then that it will actually blow up. That's a problem.
It's real. Yeah.
I just don't understand why people snore.
Okay.
Oh my God.
All right, Rob Martier. Yes. What are you working on in the newsroom for the top of the hour?